Good morning and welcome to the KGNC Golden Spread Agribusiness News Hour, the morning edition. I'm your host, Bryce Hudson, and every Thursday we always dive into the world of the Texas AgriLife Extension with our leading man, Mr. J.D. Ragland, a Randall County Extension agent down there in Canyon, Texas. J.D., how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Bryson. Good to talk to you, and always a pleasure to visit with you each and every week. And good to be with you here this morning. We're getting in more into the fall season, cooler temperatures, and a little bit of moisture, but we could still use some more, no doubt.
You're right about that. We're getting some fall weather. We're getting about to the 52 and waking up, and then it's getting a little closer to 80. So, J.D., we're getting into harvest season. We've already got basically corn silage. We're pretty much wrapped up there. We're about to kick off cotton harvest for a lot of people. How are things looking planting-wise for winter wheat people, that harvest season, and how are things turning out with these little bit of cooler temperatures coming in?
Yeah, good point, Bryson. And yes, we are actually in the middle of agriculture being extremely busy. We've got harvest going on. We've got, in some cases, our wheat that's recently been planted is beginning to grow and progress. And then in some situations, we've got a lot of wheat producers that just been waiting on rainfall and additional moisture to get that wheat planted and in the ground. So we've got a variety of things going on. As you mentioned already, corn harvest in progress and getting close to wrapping up. And then also our sorghum harvest is right around the corner, and a lot of our cotton producers are defoliating their cotton as we speak and getting ready to kick off that cotton harvest season as well. But as we take a look at that, you know, as all farmers do each and every day and throughout each week, solely depend on weather, and that certainly dictates what producers do, and, of course, the time of the year as well. Obviously, as we focus on cotton, you know, we've been waiting for that first killing frost to defoliate our cotton naturally. And then, obviously, if it looks like the weather forecast is not going to bring us our first killing frost of the season, then a lot of producers are already going ahead and prepping their cotton and being able to maybe start that defoliation process early, where harvest can go ahead and begin at a much earlier date. So that's kind of where we're at. Obviously, we haven't had a killing frost yet. Generally, we have one in our immediate area somewhere around the 10th or 15th of October is generally speaking when we have our first killing frost. We have not had that yet. I think extended weather forecast is maybe indicating that maybe even next week we'll be getting into some much cooler temperature. And I saw on the long-term forecast, I think somewhere around October the 20th, I believe the daytime high that day is going to be 75 degrees, and then it's going to dip down around close to freezing mark that night. So we're at that time of the year where we have these big fluctuations in weather. And when we do get that killing frost, that's going to be our natural defoliant to our cotton, and harvest can begin. But many producers like to go ahead and start that process early, where defoliants are being applied or will soon be applied, to try to start that harvest season a bit earlier where they don't have to wait on a killing frost. So that's kind of where we're at. You might say, how does that affect our wheat situation in terms of the weather? Well, wheat doesn't like hot weather. And, you know, over the past 2 to 3 weeks, we are still having summer-type weather for the most part, except in the evenings and at nighttime where it really cools off, like you mentioned. So unless you've got irrigation, that wheat probably still hasn't taken off with a lot of good growth and development, because wheat simply likes cooler weather to grow and develop. So we haven't seen a lot of our wheat really, bust through the seams, so to speak, at this point in time. Some of the recent rains that we've had, scattered showers over the last couple of weeks, have certainly been beneficial and provided some of our wheat, our recently planted wheat crop, with some moisture to get it up. But we're going to need some cooler weather, some consistent cool weather, and some additional moisture to bring that wheat crop along at a more rapid pace in terms of growth and development.
Well, besides just the crop production happening, right now it's a busy time for livestock producers, especially cow-calf operations. We got a lot of people doing some fall calving, winter calving, but a lot of people are starting to prepare for the spring calving season, and it's important to kind of create a strong breeding plan right now, isn't it, JD?
Yeah, that's right. And as we talk about all the ongoings of the crop side of agriculture, like you mentioned, livestock still continues as well, and particularly for our cow-calf producers. Bryson, I think most of our cow-calf producers are certainly well aware, but we might have some listeners out there that are certainly maybe not familiar. But, you know, a cow has a 283-day gestation period. So as I tell people that are in the cow-calf business, you know, two downsides to the cow-calf business. One, it takes a whole year, basically, nearly, to get a calf on the ground. And then another year, 12 months of age to 18 months of age, before that calf reaches harvest weight. And so it's not a fast turnaround on your money in terms of input cost. But with that being said, if we are cow-calf producers, it's important to look at a few key components that we need to be thinking about as we prepare for breeding season. Now, this applies whether you're a fall breeding program operation or a spring breeding program operation. And let's just take, for example, that we're talking about here in a given scenario, a fall breeding program. We're looking at, if a breeding date occurs on October 15th as a fall breeding date, in other words, a bull services a cow on October 15th, she's not going to calve for another 283 days. So that means she'll calve next July, July 24th to be exact. So as we prepare for the fall breeding season, we want to make sure that, number one, our bulls have went through a breeding soundness examination. We want to check the semen on our bulls. We want to check the fertility of our semen before we turn those bulls out for the breeding season. And we want to make sure our bulls are in good condition-wise, to be able to breed cows and also maintain good body condition score through the breeding season. If we look at our female side, both our cows and our heifers, again, good conditioned cows will help those cows settle. In other words, once they're serviced, form pregnancy, it's hard for a really poor cow that's in poor condition and maybe having some health issues to form pregnancy, even if she's serviced. So it's good that our cows be in good, strong physical condition. Maybe have a little bit of good condition in terms of a body score as well. We like to think of a good general idea of a body score of 4 or 5 that we consider to being in good condition for breeding. So if they're not, maybe some feed supplementation prior to turning our bulls out might be a good idea. Also, a really good vitamin mineral supplementation and or package would be good to try to really elevate those females' health to be able to, have a pregnancy occur at first breeding. Now, normally, if we're wanting to establish a close window of calving on our cow herd, we're looking at predominantly leaving a bull out for service about a 60-day period. So those cows, they cycle every 21 days, give or take, 18 to 21 days. So if the bull misses the first cycle on the female, he's got an opportunity to maybe rebreed her on the second cycle within the next 18 to 21 days. So that's real important. And most cow-calf operators, if they're trying to have a close, tight-knit window for calving, will leave their bulls out approximately 60 days during the breeding season. Then those bulls will need to be taken off of that cow herd to be able to, maintain that whole cow herd calving within a 30-day window, give or take, when that calving starts to occur with that particular herd. So that's ideal as well. That's important because when we get ready to market the calves are consistent. They should be at a roughly relatively same weight, whether you do selling of those calves at weaning or you carrying them on to yearling size. Either way, that should help maintain the consistency of the size and the weight, therefore allowing you to offer a more uniform calf crop at marketing time.
Well, JD, of course, it's important, to establish a strong breeding program and making sure that you've got that plan put into place. And for some of those out there who are trying to make sure that we can keep them stuck until through the winter months and we've had the severe drought, what are some kind of, tips and things that they need to do to make sure that we can keep these cows, these heifers, whatever they are, to make sure that they still stay stuck? Make sure that if you are breeding in, in the winter time, and we ain't got much, forage out there on the pastures or on the range, what other, things they need to do to kind of winterize or make sure that these cows and heifers can, stay stuck and calve later on during the season?
Yeah, well, first and foremost, we want to make sure that both our bulls and our females are in good condition. And that might, like you mentioned already, if you're looking at a fall breeding program, there's not much grass growth during the dormant season months of the year. So that means obviously either some supplemental feeding is going to have to be done ahead of time. And Bryce, that's another key component. We don't want to think about doing this when we turn our bulls out. This condition and these body scores, not only on our bulls, but our females as well, needs to be done and have them in good condition prior to breeding, turning our bulls out. So it's not something that we need to think about, oh, here we are today, we're going to turn our bulls out. Our cows and our heifers are not in the best condition. We're going to start feeding them. Well, you're already behind the eight ball if you're thinking about that at that time. So pre-planning is a key. You want to focus on when you would like your calves to be born. Remember that 283-day gestation period. Plan on getting those cattle into good shape prior to breeding season. You'll have much more success in settling all your herd, and that's the goal of every cow-calf producer, is to try to obtain a 98% calving crop. In other words, if you've got 100 females out there, you'd like 98 of them to have a calf, a live calf. Where you run into trouble, and this happens sometimes, maybe even during the breeding season, a bull experiences some sort of injury or something like that. Perhaps we don't catch it right off, and then we have a lot of cows at the end of our breeding season come up open. Well, that's not putting any money in the producer's pocket at all when we have a bunch of open cows or female, so we want to make sure that we're staying on top of that and that we can have our bulls in service condition where they will obviously settle, you know, at least 95 to 98% of our females and have a really strong percentage of calves born come calving season time.
Well, another question I have is that can these people, like these tips, also apply to those who are maybe doing artificial insemination or embryo transfer to make sure that they're still in that great condition, not all just natural, but rather, you know, we've got the AI technology a lot of people use nowadays and that embryo transfer. Can people use some of these tips for those kind of programs for cow-calf operations?
No doubt, without question, our females need to be in excellent condition to be able, particularly if you're doing artificial insemination and or, you know, doing some embryos and some flush work on your cows, they need to be in top condition in terms of nutrition and have that good body condition score of 5 to 6 if we're thinking about going that route. Because, again, it's not something that's natural, right? Mm-hmm. So since we're doing artificial insemination, that's not natural. And so, therefore, the escalation of good condition on our females is even more important. And the same token goes along with flushing of some of our females as well. So, yes, it is very important, no matter whether we're doing natural service or artificial insemination or even setting up some cows for some flush work, it's extremely important. And, Bryce, that's tough. It's been tough this year because we've been experiencing a drought. Things, our pastures have been really weak in terms of grass and the nutritional value from the grass. And, yes, that means supplementation of feed and vitamin and mineral supplement program is extremely important. And, yes, that all figures into more expense. As we've talked about throughout the drought, the increase in inputs, no matter if we're in row crop production or as we're talking here today, to the cow-calf producer, it's definitely going to put an increase in our input costs because of the dry conditions that we've had and because of the fact that some of our grass has not had the nutritional value through the summer months simply because it's been extremely dry.
I couldn't agree with you more, JD. Some great tips, some stuff that you need to do. You need to make sure that you're planning ahead for this breeding season. Make sure that you got what you need. Make sure that we're getting these heifers, cows, whatever it may be, to the right, you know, build that we need, the right score, and making sure that they're prepared to calve later on in the season, in the summer, or wherever we plan it out. Make sure that you're doing these little things. I know that we're in a drought. We've got some severe conditions with drought right now, and right now it's not looking like it's letting up anytime soon. So make sure that you're preparing and planning. Like JD said, it's highly important. And JD, if anybody has any questions or needs to ask you a little bit more on how they can help with their cow-calf operation or whatever it may be with Texas AgriLife, how can they do so?
Sure. They can reach us here at our Texas A&M AgriLife Extension office here in Randall County. Just simply do that by giving us a call at 806-468-5543. They can also find out information and the ongoings that we have through the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service here in Randall County by visiting our website at randall.agrilife.org. Or they can simply stop by, pay us a personal visit here at our extension office. We're located at 200 North Brown Road in Canyon, and we'll be glad to assist anyone with any concerns, questions, or issues they may have.
And we don't emphasize this enough, but Texas AgriLife Extension and Texas AgriLife Research is there to help you with anything that you need. So feel free to reach out to them, whether you're in Randall County, Swisher County, any county, make sure that you are. Get a hold of your extension agent. They're there to help you. And as always, JD, thank you so much for giving us some great information, some tips, some tricks to get us ready for this winter month for those cow-calf operators and some great agricultural information.
You bet, Bryson. Always a pleasure to visit with you. And once again, we appreciate you guys there at the station and having a big part in terms of educating our listeners out there about agriculture, not only here in Randall County, but throughout the High Plains. Appreciate what you guys do, and we look forward to visiting with you again next week.
Well, that's it from us here at the KGNC Studios. Don't forget to check us out on social media with KGNC Agribusiness News, as well as our Instagram pages and, of course, our website, kgncnewsnow.com. There is a new episode of Pasture to Pavement, Agriculture, the Original Innovators, on Spotify, our website, and our Facebook pages as well. But until this afternoon at 6 p.m., I'm your host, Bryce Hudson, signing off. You have a great and blessed rest of your day.